Welcome to the new and improved Drop the Dice.
All right. What's up, everybody? This is Bence from www.dropthedice.com, and we are back with our second episode in a month, which is very impressive for us, given the past 2 years of me paying for a website that doesn't have anything on it.
It just costs like $3.
It doesn't matter.
It's like $3.
It's not $3, but that's fine.
Less than $3?
How much is it?
It's 12 bucks.
Whatever, 12 bucks a fucking right. Month.
And we're going to bring back this old gem. We're going to take a shot on the air. So here we go, Z-Man, me and you. Hey, to Alfie's impending graduation.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Wait, 2 months? Less than 2 months?
I don't know why I held it in my mouth.
That's a terrible idea. I stopped doing
That's
that.
That's what she said.
No, she didn't, because she was swallowed.
Got him! Oh,
it really wasn't that bad.
No, that was horrible. No, that was bad. I legit held it in my mouth and was swishing it around. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know who does that?
I do.
Rico does that.
It's because I do it.
Do you really?
Yes.
Does Rico still exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
I talked to him the other day. He's good.
He's gradually changing from a Drop the Dice podcast about board games just to Game of Thrones.
He did say he's excited to try to play Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
That's pretty good. Awesome. All right, so we're back. We're going to talk a little bit about Game of Thrones today. We have a very cool topic that me and Alfie kind of thought of, and Z-Man here is going to be our judge. But before we get to that, Alfie's got some overall thoughts for us on the state of the game.
The overall state of the game?
And our place in it.
The game, in general right now, is, I don't know, it's in a weird place. I feel like the power creep is more obvious now than it ever has been in the game. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Sure.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily at, like, an awful spot. I did say the other day, I was like, man, when that Martell box drops, I would be more than happy to not play Game of Thrones for, like, a month until meta kind of settles, see what people are doing, you know.
It's going to be insane.
We do qualify that with not counting prepping for tournaments.
Right. But it's just... It's the redundancy now that are in factions, right? Burn. Tark has so much burn now that it's no longer you can play around Drac. Now
right. It's
Drac, Aspor, Consuming Flames, Plaza Pride, stay in your dragons. They're going in on challenges with dragons.
Right.
When did that ever happen before?
Right, so Martell
is going to have a critical mass of icon removal. Every card in their deck will remove icons.
Or
you're not playing the game at that point against them.
And if it doesn't do that, it's somehow broken in some absurd other way. Also, it doesn't matter if they win Dom or not anymore.
Isn't that one card?
Yeah.
It's a good card.
They'll also don't care what plot you play, because if they don't like it, they're just going to cancel it.
Yeah, so it's really awesome where the game is at.
So I feel like I'm curious to see when this Martell box hits... If it hits as hard as that, I feel like
as hard as we think it is.
Yes, and I will comp to the fact that with each impending box, I feel like it seems to be stronger and stronger. But didn't we have these same feelings with each of the other boxes?
No.
Again, no.
No.
When the Tyrell box was being released, we were like, "Wow, those are a lot of crazy cards."
Yeah, and it's hit exactly how we thought it was going to.
They're really crazy.
This one seems to be game... Mason, I know, whatever. But, like...
Mason Hightower is a game-breaking combo. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
This seems like there's, like... I'm just going to throw out a number. Like, 10 game-breaking cards.
I see, that's the thing, is on their own, those cards aren't game-breaking.
It's that they have all the other pieces to it already?
It's that Martell is because... Like, Targaryen right now... Targaryen isn't great because they have Dracarys. Or because they have Khal Drogo. Or because they have Second Sons and Flea Bottom combo.
Consuming Flames.
Or because of Aspor. Or because of Consuming Flames.
Because they have them.
They're
all.
Great because they have all of it.
Yeah.
Right? They have all these small, efficient bodies, which then have these, allow them to do things like Dracarys, or allow them to have these other abilities. So they are hyper efficient while being kind of low to the ground, so they're cheaper. So then you can run plots.
Right, so Targaryen is just very effects. Efficient, low to the ground. Like I said, the. High cost plots. You have the or low gold plots, which have more powerful effects that they can run. Sure. So everything they're running is just super hyper efficient, very powerful. Martell is basically in a similar place right now, right? They have those Dornish spies, Southron Messenger, Arya Hota, all these three cost characters that have these powerful abilities. Greenblood Trader draws you a card, and you get a filter in a way, right? You get to look at two and draw one. So they have, and now they're getting even more of that, right? The box has all sorts of these low-cost characters, powerful. Shadow City Bastard, a 2-for-1. I think it's a bicon. Even if it's not, it could have zero icons. It's still broken card. Choose a character with strength or cost 5 or lower, and remove a military intrigue and power icon from them until the end of the phase.
Yeah.
Sacrifice it to do this, which means you just get to cycle it with Flea Bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to be worse is when Martell figures out a way to stand Flea Bottom.
Right.
Outside of Veteran Builder, right?
Right. Well, then, like, now you have that. Then you throw in new Ilaria, and she kneels out your board. She loses that challenge. You use Shandy Stone to stand her. Then you kneel out another
board. She kneels out that board in which you also put in. In which you also had in Darkstar, the new Darkstar.
Yeah.
And now all of those characters go back to your hand.
Yeah, like, it's insane. And my overall question is that going to be as horrible as that sounds?
Yes.
I think so.
100%.
Were we not feeling this way about Night's Watch or Tyrell when those were coming?
No. Night's Watch, nobody saw the Builder's deck. People saw a lot of cards that worked together. They're like, oh, a lot of Builder cards. A lot of Ranger cards, a lot of Steward cards. No one really came up with a good deck within that frame for like 8 months.
Really?
Or 8 months. And then finally we had that big Builders deck. Before that, people were running semi-decent. Maybe you tried to run a Builders deck.
Well, now, right before the Night's Watch was starting to become viable, box comes out. Now it's a faction that can at least, like, compete.
It was doing pretty well before the box came out because Kraven had been released
right.
a few months before that. And so at that point, then, Night's Watch was seen as no longer a joke house.
Right, which now, was like, sure. which what, first cycle, people were like,
first
fuck that.
Year, yeah, of the game almost. And so we didn't see that with the Night's Watch box. A lot of people looked at the cards and were like, these cards are a joke.
Yeah.
You wouldn't run these cards. Abandoned Stronghold got laughed at.
Sure.
Right.
Banished Stronghold.
Now it's a staple.
Amazing in a Builder's deck.
Right. Its gift is HRD.
Exactly. And so then we had the Tyrell deck or the Tyrell box, and we did think all those things, right? We saw Mace. We saw Hightower. We saw all those big combos. And while a lot of people weren't necessarily able to see what they couldn't see the end result of it yet in their mind.
Yeah.
We've now seen the end result. We see things like Bitterbridge decks that just throw out, vomit out huge characters. And while that doesn't necessarily win every tournament, that's a tier one deck.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? And so we have seen how ridiculous Hightower and Mace combo can be together.
Okay. So ultimately, Martell box, it looks gross and it's probably going to be as disgusting as it seems.
It's going to be gross.
Yes. And I think
you think this is going to be the worst, not the worst, the biggest effect yet.
The biggest
yet,
thing you
yes.
mean? Yeah. Still hasn't been a Targ box.
Well, the Targ one will probably just give more burn, which more burn and that weird attachment stuff they like.
Yeah, they do. They're trying to build some kind of attachment stuff.
It's stupid. Well, maybe. Yeah. Until we get to our later segment.
Right. Okay. What else do you think? Go on. You said you had your hot takes.
Oh, hot takes? Well, I don't think we're very good. Right? So earlier we were talking about decks.
Right.
Decks we build, and you said you thought that you had built a pretty good Stark deck a while back.
Sure. Yeah.
And my response was, it's not a good deck just because it beats us occasionally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't think we're very good. I think we are mediocre. I think we are average players.
Okay.
And so your deck beating, and this is where we got into a discussion about what the word good means. To me, good means
above average.
At least tier 2.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You mean you can pilot a tier 2 deck or you can play at a tier 2 level?
I mean the deck itself is tier. Like,
okay.
A tier 2 deck in the hands of a capable pilot.
So, gotcha. Like, I mean, meaning, like, you might not win a tournament, but you'll probably make the cut. You could make the cut.
Yeah, you would make...
If you're a good player, you'll make the cut.
If you make the cut, yes, if you make the cut, you probably have a good deck or good meta call. But yeah, so if you have a good deck, you're probably making cuts. Top four, top eight, you know, multiple things. Yeah,
and outside of some crazy luck, you're probably not winning.
You could if you have a right meta call, right? If you're bringing.
If everyone played that Brienne deck and I had all the answers in the world.
Sure.
You had your Stark deck.
Yeah.
Seemed to apparently do very well.
Yeah.
But it's a deck that you'd never do well against other decks. It doesn't seem like
you would. I played it against one deck.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that's where we've gotten into this idea where we think we're better than we are, because while there isn't evidence that it can take down your deck and take it on a tournament, there's not evidence to the opposite. There's not evidence that it can't take down the tournament.
Yeah.
I'll agree with your lawyering there. I think we run into the same thing of, like, discussing good, because I think good of, like, I believe, and that's where we're at. I don't think we're average. I think we're slightly above average.
I think you say that because of the meta that we are in, though. Like, we all went to war, and we all equally got our asses kicked.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I'm being nice by saying we're middle of the road. When we went 3-4 was our best records, right? Yeah. So that's below average.
And then each of us took home mats the second day in
draft. Yeah, but draft isn't...
Draft, we all did well. Draft isn't no one's joust. Questioning that. Okay. But that's not what you play in tournaments.
It's not joust, but like our understanding of the game is there.
Like, we drafted better decks than... I don't know about you guys.
I drafted an awesome deck.
Yeah, I drafted a good deck.
I didn't... And make yes, it to I the second.
Played better than some players, but
don't you think that's part of the game?
In draft, yes.
I don't think draft is a good example for what you're talking about.
I get it because it's a weird thing. It's its own yeah. thing. But that kind of understanding of the game that you know from these cards, I'm going to take this one because it's the most efficient for this thing.
I mean, but even in draft, you can just look at the rarity of a card and you know this is a good card. Let's try to take it. Not false at all. I don't know how you can say that's false. If it's a rarity for a card that you're not going for that faction...
I didn't take a single rare card. I'm going to take one.
You took at least one.
I never looked at the rarity of the cards when I took them.
Oh, man.
I also didn't know there was rarity.
You didn't know there was, so I understand that. But, like, every single time I got the cards, I was like, well, let's see what's left. One rare, one uncommon. Okay, well, this rare isn't good for me, so I'll throw it back.
We're used to opening up thousands of magic boosters. Sure. So I looked at it, but the rare was...
I'm not saying you take the rare, but I'm saying it's rare because it is a game-changing
I think
card.
All this is way beside the point where I'm on a weird tangent. Okay, I don't think draft is... I don't think you can bring up draft to describe how good we are at the end. That's not a good example.
I just don't... I don't agree that we're... I think we're above average.
There's not evidence for that, is what I'm saying. There's no evidence for you to say that.
Yeah, like our meta... Yes,
they're bad.
We're like way above average. We're like
I'd say Mike. Mike is probably if Mike played Game of Thrones with us, he would be. I think he's just as good as us. He just doesn't have people that he can like talk to or like. Yeah,
does he want
to
come to game night?
I don't know. Probably, I could ask him.
Yeah. And then just don't ask the other guy.
Yeah. He was a nice guy though.
He was.
They're all nice.
He was really nice.
No, there's that one. Not a bad one. Really wanted to like get my address.
Yeah, he wanted to come
That's right.
He was nice, though.
Yeah, he was nice.
He wasn't even creepy. He was just nice. No, just like, wow.
He was creepy.
Was he?
It's fine. Either way, fine. Like, we're never going to agree on this one.
I think we will if there's evidence that supports it. You're saying there's no evidence to support that we're bad. Besides the fact that we went 3-4 at Thrones War.
That's not bad.
I think I'd take
the
opposite.
We're bad players.
There's no evidence to say that we're good.
Bad either. I'm saying mediocre, and you're saying above average, and we... Went 3-4.
I think we're above...
That is below average.
I think we're above mediocre.
I think we're the only one ranked above average.
What I'm saying is there's no evidence for that.
Sure. But we've all won tournaments here. And you guys say like everybody sucks here. But you have to be at least playable. You have to at least know how to play the game to win tournaments.
Sure, but that's about all you need. You just have to know how to play the
game. I don't think... Here's not a good example. They're not good.
I don't think if I took some crazy jank that I built, I would win that tournament. Here.
But you wouldn't do that because it's a tournament.
Yeah, you would.
You think I would still win?
Crazy jank?
If I took something that, like, because I have some off ideas that I know aren't going to work, but I want to try them to see if I can pull these combos off, you know, here and there. I played a handful of them.
It depends. If the other guys don't play Targaryen, then yes, you could.
Really?
When they play Targaryen, because Targaryen is an autopilot thing.
I think it's built to stop jank.
Right? So some of those guys net deck.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
Besides you, Zach. But I know one of the guys does, because I remember seeing his deck, and I was like, oh, this was a deck that was just posted on Thrones TV.
Well,
like,
the guy has that combo deck that I don't think is his.
I know, that's very clearly his. He heard about it somewhere else, but yeah. He built it, because it's not good.
Because I don't remember his name.
Lanny Moneylender.
Shut him the hell out, though. Yeah. Who do you think Nev decks? Do you know?
I'm not going to name Robert.
Robert?
Yeah.
Oh god, then he's net decking the wrong people.
He net decked a guy that went top 8 at Worlds?
Yeah.
Either way, I've never seen somebody land as for money lenders in my life.
But yeah. Anyways, all I'm saying is I don't think those guys are average players. Sure, Thrones War is gonna have a higher concentration of good players.
Oh.
But we got beat by good players.
Yeah. And I think most of us, the bad players that we thought we played, we beat.
Yeah. I never said we're bad. I said we are
mediocre, average.
Maybe that's where I'm
mediocre. Maybe that's where I have a different
view of Thrones War than you guys did.
What was your view of
Thrones War?
Well,
you did beat
at no point.
Because you started
did a guy
great
I
players.
Beat. I felt like they were bad.
Yeah, because you started 3-0. Like you played up and up and up. So you did play all.
At no point did I have to teach someone how to play the game.
Was
or play against a guy who makes like silly mistakes.
I don't think the people I beat, the three wins I had, I don't think they were bad. One of the guys was clearly dead at the end of the day. It was my last game, and I was letting him do takebacks because I knew I was going to win the game, and sure. He had no idea. Like he was clearly just like super super tired. But the other two guys I beat, no, I didn't think they were bad. I just like one, my deck had all the answers.
Yep,
so I won. The other one. I had better draw. Like, again, like, I just, my deck worked better than his did.
Yeah.
I don't think they were bad players. So I'm not at any point saying people are bad that we only beat bad players. What I'm saying is we lost to good players. We lost 4 times to good players.
Sure.
That's not good odds.
I think I won 3 games against good players.
I think the games you lost were to better players.
Okay, sure.
Probably, yeah. Arguably, that's a great point, though.
Which one?
That you... I think you're the only one that can say from Thrones that your losses were probably good players.
I think all of us can say our losses were good players. I think everybody in Thrones War, besides the occasional person who's... doesn't know how to play the game or whatever.
Yeah, right? There's like at least 2 or 3 newbies there. Completely yeah. new. Completely
everybody, you have amazing players, you have great players, you have good players, and you have middle-of-the-road players. Yeah. I think we fall in the middle of the road.
So would you say at least, let's go 95% of people there are like middle-of-the-road or higher?
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, yeah. then I can see
I went to Worlds, right, and I went 5-3. Yeah. That's above average.
Yeah.
That's good.
Then I went to Thrones when I went 3-4.
Yeah.
That's so as a whole, I'm 8-7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still that is like yeah, sure, that's like slightly above average, but yeah. With what I'm saying, but with that marginal difference, you're saying 3-4 is good, is above average, where that's literally not. And so I can say that going to being 8-7 is mediocre.
I mean, I'm not gonna have the numbers on my side here.
Yeah, but you're 3-4. You technically were above average. Like you were above half of the people there.
3-4.
Weren't you? Because weren't you like 40 something?
No,
there was
62.
80.
62 out
how
of
many
104?
People were there?
104.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were still below.
We were all below. We were all in the bottom half.
No, so numbers aren't gonna be on my side here. But that's one instance. That's 7 games.
But what I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. Because I mean, we should probably just cut most of this. What I'm saying is, there's no evidence to support what you're saying. There's only evidence to support what I'm saying.
I don't think that means that I'm wrong.
I mean, you can say that we don't have enough
experience
to say.
But there's no evidence to support what you're saying while there is evidence. I agree that if we're not average, we're slightly above average. I agree with that.
Okay, I'll settle there.
But again, there's no evidence to support anything you've said.
And I never said that there was, other than belief.
Other than, yeah, like
you're saying
like
there's not a
X-factor,
lot of evidence
like,
to say we're the opposite.
Right. I don't think we've
really
played enough competitive tournaments to support
one,
either.
One each.
No, two, he's got two, and then we got one.
He's got two, and we've got one.
And especially if we're discounting all AZ.
Technically has some.
Technically played in regionals.
We counted that?
I went...
the one out here?
Two.
The one out here?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's
which
great.
SoCal meta ruined.
Yeah, they went 7 of top 8. Yeah. That was nice. So, yeah, I went 3-2 there. So, overall, I'm 11-9.
In a competitive scene.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got the one. I got the war. I got 3-4, and one of those was a bye. Yeah. So
I'm the only one who's got a positive record. Thank you. Case closed.
Where's the gavel?
So I'm the best.
Who's got a gavel?
We always said you were the best.
No, and I thought about this too. I actually think, because we always say, right, what we like to say is that Zach is the best pilot.
Sure.
I forget where we say other things. I think they say you're the...
Me and Mark are deck builders.
You and Mark are deck builders, and I'm...
You know the game the
you're
best.
Just
and
knowledge.
See, and this
you're
is
knowledge.
What it is. This is what it is. I think it's totally flipped. Because I think you actually know the game better than I do.
Okay.
Benz.
Really?
Yeah, I think Benz knows the games the most.
Huh.
I think Zach makes the least amount of mistakes.
Which is why we think he's a better pilot?
Yes, okay. But Zach plays a deck that is the easiest to pilot.
Yeah.
Sure. Which is Targaryen Fealty. So,
it's interesting.
You can afford to make you can afford to make mistakes. Or, like, you sure, even though you make the least amount of mistakes, like,
when I do make
it's
them,
because
they're less impactful.
What it is it's because I don't think you can always notice when somebody's made a mistake playing a Targaryen Fealty deck.
Sure, because
occasionally
they're...
can.
Sure.
But I think a lot of times they can do something that isn't necessarily the optimal play, and you don't notice that because they still come out on top.
It's
right,
strong.
And there's some decks.
It's the most forgiving type of deck.
And the deck that I love to pilot is a deck that probably walks a high wire.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite types of deck are decks that, like, A, B, and C, and D all need to fall in line.
Yeah.
For this to work correctly.
Yeah.
Like a mini combo.
Sure. It's a deck that relies on multiple things. It's not, I'm not trying to hit this one turn thing, but I'm trying to get this in line and go.
I think we're all equal pilots. I think that's like the conclusion I came to is that I think we're actually all equal pilots. We all have like flaws in our play, and we all have like super positives in our play. Bus falls apart when he makes mistakes.
Yes,
right.
He gets in his own head.
His bus actually
lot.
Falls apart in any game.
Yeah,
because he can make great.
We
plays.
Love you, bus. You're a giant.
He makes great plays
not
sometimes,
that
right?
Yeah,
and then other times he'll like make one mistake and then he'll make another right afterwards,
and that's it
because he gets upset. And I think he's gotten better about that, but that is like kind of like a trend that he has. I make stupid little errors because I basically plan everything out in my head of like what I think is going to happen, and then I forget that on this card, like I forget the treachery you need a unique landing character out,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like I make little mistakes like that, whereas, and that's why Ben's I was telling you this last night. I think I think you actually know the cards better than I do because you don't make mistakes like that ever. You never make mistakes as to I can't actually do this with this card.
That is fair. You rarely make like. Requirements mistakes.
And I think I make them the most.
Mine's Valor. I always fuck up Valor with Claim all the time. Every single time
I play. Oh, sure. I mean, Benz does that too. But I don't think that's... Everybody does that, so...
Yeah.
I do it a lot with new decks. That's why I don't... At this point, I don't think I'm the best pilot. Because, like, you make me a deck... And I have to fumble
through
it.
You have to be told how to pilot new decks.
I have to at least, I have to be told like, 80%
is
how to pilot.
He has a and this is overall, he has a natural affinity for games in general.
Sure.
Yeah. Although I think I'm up on you overall.
You're getting up on
games.
If you're not, up already.
I think I've won more games than he has.
Yeah, if you're not
for a long time,
you're close.
Sure, but like,
back when I kept count.
But just in general, outside of you, you know. Z-Man, like, he can go into
a
game.
Things that
he
we
goes
don't
into a game,
see.
And I can tell him rules for it. He'll grasp it pretty quickly, and he'll immediately try to figure out how to the easiest way to victory.
Right.
And he'll just beeline towards that without regard to anybody. And I think that kind of dedication is what sets him apart. All right. I think. Okay. Then who do you think's the best deck builder? We'll finish right
of
here.
Of us?
Yeah.
I don't think so. For the record, Z-Man's pointing at me.
He is pointing at him.
I don't think
I thought you guys
so.
Could see that.
No, we're not on
I
video.
Don't, no,
no,
I think
no,
I'm
I
the
think
best tweaker.
Okay. Yeah. What's so, like, the real word they use for that? Refiner.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a tweaker.
Is this that three refiner, builder, and pilot?
Player. I think. I don't know. I think Z-Man's the worst, and I don't know between.
No, that's easy.
Bus, Benson, Alfie.
Okay. But you think by far you're the best.
Refiner. I think I'm the best refiner.
That's fair.
But and this is where you and I run into problems is
you do like build,
you build a deck, you build a deck, and then I want to refine it, but I would completely change what you want to do.
Right.
And that's where we run into like issues because I'm like, oh, I think I can make your deck so much better, but then that you're the deck that I would build. Or that I would refine your deck into.
Isn't my deck anymore.
Isn't it? It is. I think I try to get rid of the janky stuff. I try to get rid of the, because my goal is to make the most optimal deck.
Right.
I
want
the
deck to be the
at its highest optimization, if that's a word.
It's a word.
That it can be, right? And so I get rid of the janky, like cheeky one ofs and two ofs.
Right.
And
we're not
stuff.
Even talking about me throwing in fear cuts deeper. Like
right.
Other, like.
Right. Like I say, oh, don't run two Daisy.
Yeah.
Run one Daisy, run a third Sansa.
Yeah.
Things like, so small things like that that I think would make your deck better, whereas you kind of fight me on that because you're like, oh, but I want all the Renown.
Right.
And then I say, oh, but your deck's susceptible to resets.
Right.
So the Renown doesn't help you if you just got reset.
Right.
Whereas a third copy of a character means you're much more likely to draw that dupe for that character, in which case you're now becoming a little less susceptible to resets. And that's kind of how I view a deck, right, is,
yeah,
that's kind of how I view a deck of where are the weaknesses, how can I curb those weaknesses instead of just trying to push its strengths.
So my last question, I think I actually might have two more points. Two things, because what we were talking about piloting, and I know I promise we'll move on right now, is when you're piloting a deck and you run into, let's say, Jank, something unexpected. Yep. I feel like you flutter.
Yes, because like when I see someone run like cards.
Because this is what I'll say, and this is why I think you know the game better than I do.
Yeah, 100% correct. By the way,
thanks. This is why I think you know the game better than I do, or this is at least why I say you do, because I don't play this way. Is you will play the game, and you'll think the best thing for him to do right now is this, and you're like, if I was playing that deck, I would do this, this, and this. And these cards would be in his hand. He would have the hand of judgment, so I'm not going to do this. You did it earlier against Z-Man. You were like, oh, he's got the Second Son, so I'm worried about intrigue.
Yeah.
Because that puts him in the discard pile when, in fact, it wasn't Second Sons. Besides the point. Probably a smart play. But.
Still was.
I see you do it all the time.
That's true.
And then I do something, and, like, I love it because every game we play, especially if it's a new deck that I've built, you're like, oh,
it's just always I'm so oh, and I see that I do and I have a problem with this and I do need to work on it, but I get very dismissive of when you play someone just like why would you play that?
It's like I would never see this in a tournament scene. Like I don't have to worry.
I also
about
I also say that like yeah. That's my thing is because
oh, which is fair
because
which is fair.
Because I want to build my decks and I want to play my decks to win tournaments.
Sure,
I don't care if I lose to your Sand Snake deck.
Sure, but I build those decks so that I can be a better player because I understand different interactions.
I understand what you're saying. I do understand that, right? That's where you find the Miri and Hound interaction, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I told you, my dream would be to discover an OTK.
Yes.
That someone has it.
Right.
I hate those decks.
Sure, I agree that they're not good for the game.
Right.
But, I mean, in terms of a deck builder, that would be incredible.
Right, because you're creating, like, the... You're creating Exodia.
Yeah.
That's a... Yes, I totally understand what you're saying. But it comes into a problem, right? If I'm... Say I'm going to be going to a tournament, and you guys aren't. If I'm trying to test, and you're playing your Sand Snake deck, that's not helping me, right?
Right.
So it's like, well, then I'm just wasting games, essentially.
Sure. Waste of time.
Right, because it's like, oh, I can't beat your Sand Snake deck, so do I tweak my deck to beat that? But then, now I lose to Greyjoy.
Yeah. Well, this is where I disagree with that. Alright, we'll table this after this. I disagree with that because I think anytime you play your deck, you're learning something. And it doesn't matter what deck you're playing against. Agreed. If you're going to a tournament and you want to test against these certain things, that's super important. You want to know how your deck plays against
exactly
a burn, whatever. A Greyjoy Reigns is popular right now.
You side want to, note, real quick, burst. And I think the problem comes with that is that we don't play enough to where I can afford to not test against that stuff and play against Jank.
Okay, sure. Fair.
Continue.
But I think when you play against other stuff, you start learning intricacies of your deck that you didn't know were there.
Just interactions you think you wouldn't have seen otherwise?
Exactly.
I disagree.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm a viable player playing a less than average deck. That's where Iron Throne gets a little weird, because I think you have people playing Jank who also don't even know how to play it.
Right?
Sure.
You get, kind of get what I'm saying?
Sure.
Not really.
Like, my Sand Snake deck, I can pilot it and win with it.
Sure.
There's people online who throw bullshit together and can't even play the bullshit.
Yes.
You know? I can at least play that deck correctly and hopefully and know how to affect that win condition. So I think you could still learn stuff from playing that deck, but you do make a point with we don't play enough that you could argue that you're wasting your time playing this when you could be playing
a Land deck Crossing. That's something that you actually playing against Land Crossing, right?
Right. Or any other deck that's actually going to be there at the tournament.
Right.
So I agree with that, but I do disagree that playing against some janky decks aren't going to help your deck ever.
I agree ever, but I do think... I think the point about you're going to learn things about your deck, I think you learn those things no matter what deck you're playing against.
So, you can so learn it's better to just
be testing against the...
Tier 1, Tier
like,
2 deck.
Yeah, it's better just be testing against like decks you're likely to see than something like that, because I think you're going to see either way, you're going to see those types of things.
Because then you can double up, you'll learn interactions, and you'll learn how to play against decks you're going to see.
If you're building a gauntlet, you probably have at least 10 decks in there.
Sure.
But, you know, 10 to 15 decks, all sorts of different factions, you're going to see all those things.
I just feel like, no matter what, you're going to run into surprises at a tournament, and the better you are prepared to handle that, then the better you are going to be as a player.
How many runs do normal tournaments go? Because, like, I would say war, by your third, fourth game, say you won up. You won up to there. You're not running a jank anymore. Your jank's gone. You're not playing a jank deck. You will not play a jank deck.
No.
So you just have to get up to that point.
After lunch, I went against Steven Embry in his target deck, which was, like, as perfect as could be.
Which was a target deck.
Like, literally, it was one of those decks where I was just like, this is a beautifully designed deck.
Well, and that's one of those things I wonder, because, like, store tournaments here, you play four or five games,
max
maybe.
Five games.
So, like, you could really play jank the entire game. You could play against, you have the option to play against jank the whole time.
Yes.
But actual tournaments, at a certain point, you're not playing against them anymore.
Well, and that's the thing is, you, like we said in the last podcast, the three things you need, right? You need to build a good deck, you need to make a good meta call, and you need to get lucky on the day.
Right.
Yep.
The meta call is the one that matters, right? Sure, you could run into jank. That's where, what was it, the one jank on? Martell Stag.
Yeah.
That, for probably a lot of people, they weren't expecting Martell Stag. Or, even better, is U.S. Nationals, the Stark Watch deck that won.
Sure.
People were not expecting a Stark Watch deck. And also, the way it was created and made by those DC guys, it's unbelievable how, you know, good they are at that type of stuff.
Sure.
But they brought a deck that people weren't expecting, right?
Yeah.
So I understand your point about you're going to see stuff that you're not going to expect, but for the most part, to win, you have to make a good meta call. You have to understand, you know what? People are going to be bringing Tyrell Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, that's hot right now. Tyrell Reigns and Greyjoy Reigns. How does my deck stack up against them? You win your first couple games, because if you lose, right, then you're in the jungle.
Yeah.
Then you're playing the Martell Lion that just runs, like, three tiers and, like, just kills all your guys, right? And you're going to, you might lose to that deck, right?
Right.
And so that's where your point about, like, oh, you're going to run into weird stuff, that's where that stands. But if you make a good meta call and you play well, you shouldn't, that shouldn't happen to you.
Sure. But, I mean, we're average players, so we'll be in the jungle.
Yeah, I was barely in the jungle.
All right. Speaking of jank, I think that leads into our main topic here. Right?
Yes.
No? That's a good transition.
Is it?
No? All right.
Wasn't the worst.
Me and Alfie went through each faction and took, what, like 2 to 3 cards out of each. And they're cards that we think could be playable, aren't completely unplayable, and tried to make them a little bit better, so that maybe they would actually see play.
Yeah, most of them are cards that don't really see play.
Yeah,
some of them are cards that you'll occasionally see, and they're not necessarily bad cards. And we don't want to break the cards; we just want to make the cards more of an option. We want to tweak these cards just by a little bit and see. Okay, hey, are these things that will become considerations for your deck?
Right.
And we are going to give them up, and Z-Man is going to make the decision of whether or not he would allow that change to occur.
And kind of what his thoughts are on it. And I was impressed. The two I told to Z-Man, he actually had some pretty good comments back towards them as to like why that actually might not make a difference.
Okay.
So I was very impressed. So... Yeah, and again, I want to stress again what Alfie said is that we're not trying to break these cards. It's easy enough to just break a card.
Right.
We try to still make the cards playable. I don't even think anything we have is like near mace level.
Nothing. We didn't make any of these cards
like absurd.
Potentially, right? Ideally, we weren't trying to make any card great. Right. We're just trying to make some cards that either never see play or almost never see play. We're just trying to make them
viable
and more of an option of, oh hey, I'm building this deck, this is what I want to do with it.
All right, so the first one that we have, we're gonna start with Bera. Bera, we have the White Raven. Right now the White Raven is a 2-cost 1-strength power icon, forced reaction. After you lose a power challenge, sacrifice the White Raven. Reaction: after you win Dom, if there is a summer or winter plot card revealed, gain 1 power for your faction. I actually really like this card already because I think that the idea of a Dom Rush deck is super interesting, and I'm trying to build it over and over again. There's a reason why it hasn't worked yet, but I think this card would help towards that. Now, the obvious problem here is it's so easy to just lose 1 power challenge and all of a sudden this piece of your deck is gone. And you've lost gold, like you lost a body, there's so much tempo hit, and what you're getting from it isn't so good that you're going to risk that. That's essentially the problem with the card, right? You fill up a card slot with something that might gain you 1 power.
Right.
You could probably consistently get 1 power off of him, but then your opponent could easily just focus, win a power challenge, and you're done.
Yes.
So the change we thought, we would make this a little bit closer to the Red Keep, where instead of sacrificing it, we would change this to forced reaction. After you lose a power challenge, kneel the White Raven. We would also change the reaction to after you win dominance, kneel the White Raven to gain a power. So if the Raven's knell, you wouldn't be able to get the power, and you still have to make sure you're not losing power challenges to utilize the Raven, unless you're doing some other tricks where you can stand him.
Right.
But, I mean, there's only so many in there. So we would change the same cost, same strength, same power icon, but now instead of losing and sacrificing, you lose it and kneel it, and then at the end you wouldn't be able to kneel it to get that extra power for Dom.
We also remove the summer or winter restriction.
Okay. That was what I was going to ask.
Summer winter plot restriction.
That's what I was going to ask, was whether it still kept the summer and winter. Because I think if it had, it still wouldn't see play. Because, like, especially in a Bera Dom deck, I don't think you're going to play summer-winter plots.
Yeah, maybe Withering Cold.
So, like, you can't consistently hit it on your own. What's to say the opponent's going to play one? But we're removing that. I think that's good. I think it's a card that might see play in Dom decks.
Right.
It seems very reasonable. It's not overpowered in any way that I can see.
I like that word. Yeah, it's a reasonable card now.
It's a reasonable card.
You still have to find a spot for it.
Yeah. You're still going to be in a
which
very
I think is always like an interesting
deck.
Idea, and you hear a lot of other podcasts talk about it of like, oh, that makes this card better, but you still have to figure out what to take out for this.
Sure. Well, and I think what's interesting is, right, it does have to go in a Dom centric deck. It also has to go in a Power Challenge centric deck.
Right.
Sure. Right. Which is what's interesting about this card. Red Keep is helps you in Power Challenge. You lose a Power Challenge, you don't get your bonus.
Right.
This is if you lose a Power Challenge, you don't get your bonus, but your bonus has to do with Dom.
Right. Yeah, I do. We didn't even talk about that last night.
I think that's an interesting design space.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because
that goes into deck building a lot.
So you think it's good, Z-Man?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think the change makes it a lot better. It's still a situational card, right. Which makes
doesn't
it go better.
In every bear deck. Doesn't even go in half bear decks.
No, but it'll go in some, and it'll have its place.
And this was your idea.
So next we have the big Sir Davos that was from the Ghost of Harrenhal chapter pack. He is 6 cost, 4 strength, a military and power icon. He's loyal. He is a knight lord smuggler. He has stealth and reaction. After he bypasses a non-loyal character using stealth, either draw 1 card or gain 1 gold. Now, Davos has a problem of there's another copy of Davos that is 4 cost, 6, 3 strength, 4 cost, 3 strength, and same thing, stealth. But when he dies, return to your hand instead of go to the dead pile. So it's kind of a repeatable save almost. Granted, 4 cost, but still good. Now, this Davos, right, you can draw a card or gain gold, whatever you need for that round. He has stealth again, but he doesn't really see play, maybe because of the 6 cost. But the change I would make is I would make his strength 5. Up his strength 1.
Okay.
Helps with Dracarys, right? He isn't just automatically burnable.
He's not a death.
Mm-hmm. And now he's a 6 cost, 5 strength bicon. Who can now actually, you know, throw his weight around on the table.
Right.
He's now considered a big character.
Yeah, yeah. As other podcasts would say, he can now win challenges on his own.
Right.
I mean, to me, this is one of those... Yeah, it makes sense. I think it's a good change. It's not the most interesting one. But I didn't know that he was a lord. I think that's super interesting.
So I think, I think the 5 makes it
better. I mean, logically, it does. I mean,
it does. I mean, yeah, it does. 100%, it does make it better. It's just literally a +1 number. I might look at taking off the loyal.
That's interesting. Because now you can at least banner to him.
Yeah, and you banner to him. He's a knight and a lord.
Yeah,
which synergizes. I'm thinking Tyrell, but like synergize the best with that. But I think it synergizes with other ones.
Yeah.
Where bannering it might also give it opportunity. Again, I don't. Is other Davos loyal?
That's I'm not sure. Let's see. This is great. We're great podcasting right here. Go ahead and type in Sir Davos. That one. He's not loyal. Okay. Oh, wow.
Because I think, and he saw his knight, which is good. I think I might go for trying to take out the loyal.
First. I think that's an interesting idea, because then, I mean, even though the loyal makes him susceptible to fealty, which bear fealty is a thing.
Sure.
Being able to banner to him to gain that, to gain stealth.
Yep.
2, yeah, you're right. He's a knight, and that, I mean, Tyrell.
Lord even.
Tyrell doesn't wouldn't mind drawing more cards or getting more gold, or even someone like Lanny, who randomly has no draw.
Sure.
At all, I think that would be a super interesting.
Even trying to, I don't know if Tar can banner Bear at all, but.
So
the Lord's an interesting.
I mean, what do you think, Alfie? Z-Man was saying like we could take away the loyal. Aspect of him, and he might like him a little bit more.
That's interesting.
Other Davos isn't loyal.
The loyalty and non-loyalty is something that I don't always understand with them, and so I'm hesitant to change that.
Sure.
I understand if it has insight or draw, it's always loyal.
If it has draw,
maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why.
But
is it really always that?
Yes.
A lot. There's one example of non-loyalty draw.
What?
Frick. It's on one of the podcasts.
Their name is Frick?
It's a good name. Frick. I forgot.
Great name.
It's not Dragonstale. But.
Okay, well, maybe that's what it is. Like, Dragonstale's neutral, but maybe that's why. Maybe he's loyal because he has the draw for it then.
Yeah.
Which then, I mean, the 5's acceptable. I still don't know how much play he would see. But
why is that?
I think I would still play the other one, though.
Is it the cost?
Yeah.
Would you rather have a 5 for 4 than a 6 for 5?
I'd rather have a 4 for 3 than a 6 for 5.
That's interesting.
Isn't that what the other one is? He's a four for three. I'd rather have him over a 6 for 5.
Because he has that ability to gain gold to draw a card, which I feel like is so valuable.
Which is very cool.
Could you imagine drawing an additional card every single turn?
But you have to stealth a non-loyal, which means you're probably stealthing a not as strong character.
That's wrong. That's incorrect.
I think there's way more. You get way more oomph out of stealthing a loyal.
Yeah, I disagree.
Oh, man.
I mean, Ash is not loyal.
People are much more likely to have a non-loyal character on
board. Ash is not loyal.
Is Big Ash a loyal?
Big Ash is loyal.
No, you're saying Little Ash.
Yeah.
But you can't stealth her because she has fucking stealth.
Oh, you can't stealth her.
Get out of here.
God damn it.
I know some things about the game.
Nice. So this is a no for
you. I mean, it's a huge boon to be able to get a gold or, I think, more the draw.
But ultimately, you're saying you'll still play the old Davos.
I think I still would. I mean, maybe if you've been... I guess I don't have a lot of experience with Barra. It's probably the faction I have the least experience with because I hate it. More than anything, I hate Barra. Really? Night's Watch is a close, very close second.
Really?
I hate Barra.
Why?
I don't know. Every time I've ever played against it and the like one or two times I've played it, I had a terrible time.
Okay.
So that's just... Yeah. It's a personal...
I mean, I hate Targ for similar reasons.
Yeah, sure. I love Targ for... Well, opposite reasons, I guess, but whatever. Talking about them Blood Riders. I don't, because I had to play Night's Watch, I actually understand a decent amount of Night's Watch now, where I didn't have to play Barra, so I don't understand crap of Barra. Okay.
So you're saying the change is fine, but you still don't think it would really help the
I still think it would be, play. I still think you'd see the old one more.
Yeah.
Because it's great to be able to pop him back.
If he was a 5 for 4.
That's what I said.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'd like 5 for 4 over 6 for 5.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a really powerful card, though, for 5 costs.
It is a hugely powerful card, because the effect stays the same.
I don't think he's as powerful at 5 for 4 as Mel.
No, but Mel is probably the best card in Barra, so... That's not a good argument.
Fair enough!
That's not a good argument. Oh!
Not as good as the best
not
card.
Not as good as Mel.
I don't think he's as good as Tyrion.
Like, this event isn't as good as Dracarys, so...
He's not as good as Tyrion at 5 either, so...
Yeah, but lots of other cards see play that aren't as good as Tyrion or Mel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, then 5 for 4 for him might not be that bad.
Yeah, we agree. I don't know where...
No, yeah, okay. If you made him 5 for 4, I'm all for that.
All right, what's next? Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's move through it. Oh, that's the other Ser Davos we're looking at.
All right, so we're going to Night's Watch. So, first one is Northern Rookery. Right now, it's a 2-cost loyal location, plus 1 to reserve. Reaction after you marshal Northern Rookery, draw a card. The reserve is nice, but ultimately, there's other draw there, and you don't really see this a whole lot. And we had thought, just let you draw 2 cards when you play this. 2-cost, draw 2 cards. You still get the reserve hit, still loyal, so you can't banner to it because it is draw. I actually think if he was non-loyal, it'd be... Not broken, but very, very troublesome.
Yeah. Sure. And I mean, I think that makes it fine. It's 2 costs to draw 2 cards. You get your reserve. You get your location for whatever interactions you have for that.
Oh, yeah,
what I think is interesting is I think the card is fine how it is.
Yeah.
I think you see one of it in the occasional deck.
Right.
Usually, like, niche decks, though, not any sort of classic
Knight's Watch. Yeah, and I feel like the card advantage will make it more playable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna 2 is fine. It makes it like you'll see it in decks.
You'll see it much more often in decks.
Yeah, it would become a one of.
Right. Sure. Kind of a staple in a lot of stuff.
All right, let's go to the next one.
I think so.
Actually, okay, so I like this change. I think this is interesting. So, Seasoned Woodsman is Knight's Watch Builder. 2 for 2, power icon loyal. Reaction, after you attach an attachment to Seasoned Woodsman, either gain 1 gold or draw 1 card. Limit twice per phase. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did we say just when you marshal an attachment, you get this?
Attach an attachment.
Yes, and we limit it to twice per phase as well. It
right.
It had the same limit, and we just said when you marshal an attachment.
Sure, it's marshal, not just attach.
Not to him. Well, right now it has to go on him. Whatever you do has to go on him.
I would even say marshal Night's Watch attachment instead of just attachment. I would even be willing to make that because I feel like it's just marshal attachment. That's pretty good. That's really good.
Sure, because now Milks help it, but now my Kraven will hit still.
Kravens and all your weapons still hit.
Okay, so you guys are changing it from attach an attachment to him to play marshal an attachment on anyone, but a Night's Watch attachment. Marshal a Night's Watch attachment on the game board, I guess. Okay.
After you marshal a Night's Watch attachment,
either gain one gold or draw one card, limit twice per phase. Interesting. Marshal, so...
Does that include ambush? You have to have the gold. No.
Okay, Marshall. I didn't think so. So it has to be marshaling
phase. Has to be marshaled.
Okay. Well, I guess limit twice per phase still is fine, because you only play it during one phase. Yeah.
I think it's season one of... One of... I'm doing air quotes. I think it becomes... what am I thinking of? I think it becomes a thought now for Builder's decks.
I think it definitely goes in Builder's decks. I think you look at it in other decks as well. I think it's an automatic probably three of in Builder's decks.
Yeah, I would think so.
Two or three of.
So it's because it has the Builder interaction.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think the same.
And like, Builders run the attachments.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they recycle
and they're running practice blades.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Sweet. Let's go on.
Does this make it too good?
I don't think so.
I mean, of the one we've gone over, I think it makes it the best.
Okay.
No, not the White Ravens.
Go ahead.
Okay. Atlantis Greyjoy. Right now, 3-for-2 intrigue power icon Greyjoy card. Obviously, she's House Harlaw and a lady. While you are the first player, reduce the reserve value on the opponent's revealed plot card by 1. All right. So, again, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we said this one stays the same, but now it says while you are the first player, reduce the reserve value on the opponent's revealed plot card by 1. Otherwise, reduce it by 2. Otherwise, reduce it by 1.
So you're saying if you're first, reduced by 2. If you're second, still reduced by 1.
Yes.
Is that the one we came to?
It seems like a lot.
I thought it had to do with winter plots.
2 reserve?
No. That's another one. That's another one.
What one's that?
So you're saying you could pop it to 2 reserve just if you're first player?
Yes. No. Reduce.
I didn't want that.
Yeah. Reduce reserve by 2. That's quite a bit.
I didn't want that. That's the one I wanted.
Which one do we have?
I said with winner.
Was it winner reduced by 2?
If there's a winner plot. If you have a revealed winner plot reduced by 2.
Otherwise reduced by 1.
Yes.
Okay.
So that way it's a full choke theme.
Add a bit.
Okay, yeah.
A different way to choke on top.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm way more down with the winner. Just if your first player reduced by 2 seems
to be too. Because I said, like, that's most plots have a 6 reserve. You just turn every plot into a 4 reserve.
Okay. I said, correct me.
You're definitely, that's definitely too much. Right. Well, yeah, the winner is fine because winner is thematically made for choke.
And the idea is, no one plays her now. Now, you think people would play her in a choke deck?
Yeah.
She's also non-loyal.
I mean, she's only in choke.
Only deck, in though. Choke.
Like, would you do a Night's Watch to her, or would you just do a Greyjoy winner, maybe?
Yeah. You might see it. You'll see it in some choke, and... you know, you'll make a jank deck out of it. So. I
always do. Let's go to the next one.
Alright.
So, King Balon Solar, a 0-cost loyal location, Iron Islands. Reaction after you win initiative, gain 1 gold. So, Alfie would like to go on record as saying he actually thinks this is an okay location as it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem terrible.
I had said, no one plays this, though.
It's not true.
Okay, this is where I'm saying you know more about the game than I do.
Yeah, but I know more about the meta than you do. I don't think that means I know more about the game. Like I said, you know individual cards better than me. Okay. But I know the meta better than you. I pay attention to what wins tournaments and what does well and stuff like that.
Who's playing this?
So, in testing for War, I was on Team Greyjoy.
Right.
And I probably have at least 10 Greyjoy decks on Thrones CB right now that people build. And... that card right there, King Balon Solar, is in at least a few of them.
Huh. A few of them?
Yeah.
Okay, that's at least 3.
That's what we're trying to make with these cards,
sure,
right?
Fair enough. So, either way, fine. I like the card too, but it doesn't see play. Or I don't see it see play. You were actually on Team Greyjoy, so clearly you know more about it than I do, which is fine. I think you add, if you have Balon, kneel this to gain a goal.
I don't think you would ever see
play with that. No, you keep what it has.
Keep what it has.
Okay. Additional clause.
Oh, okay, you get an additional gold.
So now, if you win initiative, you get a gold. Now you have the option to kneel it as well if you have Balon and get a gold.
It's just because it has King Balon's name in the card.
You know, well, you have warships that deal with each of the three characters right now. Euron doesn't have a ship yet. Yet.
Silence.
Do you think it would get worse if it was just if you were first player? Ganagold? Would it get worse?
Yeah, because now you just have to win initiative. You don't have to go first.
Yeah, but as Greyjoy, you almost always want to go first anyway.
Yeah, but you're making that card worse by saying if you go first. Oh, you want to say if you go first, gain a gold, and then if you have Balon, kneel it to get a gold?
You just really want the Balon stuff in there, huh?
Well, we're not trying to make the cards worse.
Yeah, but how is going... I think you can go first without winning initiative.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I think that's counterintuitive to Greyjoy's theme.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about the Balon clause?
I mean, I think it's fine, I guess. You can get two gold if you have Balon.
Yeah.
Don't most Greyjoy decks play Balon?
Not as much anymore.
Yeah. I guess my answer depends on...
Most do,
yeah. I was going to say, I was like, it depends on my amount of decks that play Balon.
I'd say because probably at least 80% of
Greyjoy. If 80% of them do...
They're running him.
But are they running, like...
I'd say of those 80%, probably 80% of that is, yes, running.
Yeah, but like...
Good, so change this to the Balon?
Seen more and Asha's seen more than Balon now?
Yes, because Asha is considered one of the best seven casters in the game now.
Yeah, but if you change this, so you're saying already 80% are playing. So, and you already said a decent amount of them are playing this card. You change that to...
Not a decent amount.
Three. You're saying 3 out of 10.
Yeah, 30%. Maybe.
All right. So if 30% of them are already doing it, 80% of them are playing Balon, if you bump them to synergize together, I think you'll see a bump of both of those cards. So you'll definitely think this. You'll see this in more decks.
There you go.
Seems variety.
Yeah. Seems fine. Okay. Cool.
It's still loyal, so it still has to be a regular card.
So great. Good change then.
Yeah. I think fine. Sure.
Good. I like that one.
I don't think it'll break it.
No.
It's still a zero cost to get to.
Really good then.
I think it is really good. I think you're going to see, like, every Balon deck is going to have three of them now.
It's also not
limited. I'm saying three Balons.
It's not limited, but that's beside the point. Do we make it limited?
Oh, that's a fair point. I think I might make it... No. Yeah,
because essentially it's a Rose Road as it is, almost. It's a Rose Road because
you're Rose Road.
And
then if you're Balon, it's double Rose Road.
It's a zero-cost Gates of the Moon without the drawback.
No. It's only Gates of the Moon, though, if you have Balon. And you win initiative.
Right. I guess there's a lot of clauses there.
Yeah.
Maybe raise it to one cost? Keep it non-limited?
I don't really think that's his play.
Nah. Okay. I think zero. You gotta be zero. I mean, just bumping it with the Balon clause will definitely make it see play. I don't think it'll necessarily make it overpowered.
Do you have to kneel it? It under the same reaction.
What do you mean?
Reaction after you initiative, gain one gold. Continuing, kneel. If you have Balon, kneel it to gain an additional gold.
Oh, so it's kneel to get a gold.
Right, so you can't marshal Balon later, then kneel it to gain two gold.
Sure.
Okay. All under the same reaction. You have to have it out at the start.
I like that. And I think what it would do is this makes it's a better Iron Islands market.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, different, right? They're used for different things.
This is the golden tooth. All right, let's go to the next one.
Interesting. The one Stark card. Yes, I'm pick two.
We don't have a great Jonathan on Thrones. All
right.
Oh. Okay, so Winterfell Archery Range.
Oh, I forgot the...
You forgot the location. Yeah, what's the location called?
Get it.
All right. Winterfell Archery Range is two cost... Stark location, non-loyal action. During a military challenge, kneel Winterfell Archery Range to choose a participating character with strength 3 or lower and remove it from the challenge. This is a champ card, and it just doesn't see play. I don't even think it's horrible, but I think it's a little
melee,
expensive.
It's a melee champ card because it is perfect for melee. I just don't think the cost and the effect.
I disagree that it's perfect for melee.
I think you will 100% see use out of this card with melee. Like, you have so many people that can... How many do they do? Like, four?
Four. Usually, yes.
Of four of them, someone can attack you with one of those and be like, haha, if you do, you're screwed. It'll prevent people from attacking you.
It's not a bad
thing. They'll attack someone. I think it's better in melee. Maybe it's not perfect. It's better in melee.
Sure, it's better in melee. It's better in melee. That's great. That doesn't matter for us. I don't care about melee.
Well, yeah.
This is how I... Melee's a ton of fun. I would love to play more of it.
I hated melee.
But, yeah, because you don't know how to play the game.
I did well. I almost won melee. I didn't like it.
But though. I did win, so...
When did... Oh, yeah, this one? Yeah.
All right, so the way I would change it is I would keep the cost. I would keep it as an action. But during a military challenge, take out the kneel effect and limit this to twice per phase. So now you can remove two characters...
From military challenges,
yeah,
for three or less,
yeah, and it's not remove two characters; it's remove one as an action, yeah.
And then if they have a way to get a second, like call,
and it's just participating, so it doesn't have to be attacking, defending. You get to choose what's best for you,
yeah. But you get rid of the kneel. I think now you can do some stuff with it.
Well, that's interesting. So if they buff it, where you're going to win anyway, they remove a guy so you can do something afterwards. That's interesting. Sure. I still don't think it's a good card.
All right, fair enough. I mean, that's why we're here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Like Davos, right? You said you don't think he'd still see play.
Hey, if you make it a 5-4, I'd put that card in every deck.
Yeah, but not doing a 5-4.
But if we make it a 6-5, I'd still play the other Davos. I understand. It makes it better.
Stark was a hard one, because I think Stark cards, a lot of times, like, it's easy to make them broken when you make them when you take out how shitty they are.
Right.
Sure.
The other one we thought was the Stark Winter location. We didn't put it up there.
Northern Keep.
So the Northern Keep is it's two cost economy location. You know, for one, but you get two gold if there's more winter than summer plots revealed.
Oh yeah, so because arguably the hardest one to trigger.
Right. So we had thought just take out the summer part. If there's a winter plot revealed, get two.
Oh sure.
Or if you have a winter plot revealed.
I would even go as far as just a winter plot.
I think it's
plot.
Just winter plot.
I think we say that because Stark isn't good right now.
Fair enough.
Good and point. As soon as Stark's good, then it's like, oh, well, great. Now, you know, they don't necessarily have to run all winter. Because
right,
on their counting copper's
you know
turn,
what? No, fuck
you
that.
Play your winter.
Because Martell and Night's Watch can trigger every turn.
Not necessarily they can. No.
Yeah, they can.
No, not necessarily.
And I think with the winter plot revealed, makes it still harder to trigger than those two.
What's the Martell one?
Go second.
Oh. Sure. What's, okay, what do you think is the second hardest one to hit?
So the hardest right now is Stark.
Sure.
The second one's Greyjoy.
8 discard?
Yes. 8 discard.
Because you have to be playing
pillage.
Some
kind
pillage
of to get
pillage.
It quickly, otherwise it's depending on what deck you're playing, yes. Like, takes a long time to get there.
Yeah. Then, Barrow.
Bear is the...
You have to win dominance,
or
it doesn't stand.
Do you think Targ before Tyrell?
I think Tyrell is probably very easy to hit, but Targ can be turned on turn
super,
2.
Yeah, it's not hard.
But it also can be turn 4, and they don't have it yet.
Right? Yeah.
So, Targ, if they have Khal Drogo and have a double clean plot and Drak, like, yes, you're there on turn 2, right?
Like, I got it.
Right, Valor
one
as well.
Turn, I got it.
But if you think about it, the Tyrell one isn't very good because then you're just running summer plots and then you're just getting more gold on your summer plots that already have a lot of gold. So that's why it's not considered a good one. But
and they have
theoretically,
overkill.
It's really easy to hit that almost every single turn.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, sure, fair enough. Okay.
It's one of those where it's just overkill.
I think Martell's the best.
Clearly.
Night's Watch is number 2.
Good.
However, Gold Road is theoretically the one that's going to give you 2 gold every single turn, besides the first turn you do it. You only get the one.
The Lanny one?
Yeah,
sure,
Lanny
but then
one.
Every turn you automatically
get
2.
You said Gold Road. Is that what it is?
It's called the Gold
Road,
yeah.
Gold Road.
What's the other one that we thought might have been it, but it's not it? It's 3 cost. Get 1 gold, 3 gold if they have no cards.
I don't know. Golden Tooth? Lance
Treasure? Is it Golden Tooth?
I don't know. Man. Yeah.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
The Gold Road, theoretically, you're getting it every single turn after the first turn, though. It's the only one you can guarantee.
Yeah.
Right, but you just have to get it during challenges phase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're still
but
getting
still,
2 gold, right?
Gold.
So, but that's, like, with that, you know, whatever. So, I say with the Stark one, I say you should have to have the winner plot revealed. Because you, I mentioned this before. What I like about those economy locations is most of them, you have to build your plot deck around that.
Yeah, okay, you did, okay.
That's why I don't like the Night's Watch one, because the Night's Watch one is just, oh, your opponent is playing good. Sure. High goal plot, so you get it. But with Martell, you have to run plots that are high initiative, so you can guarantee you go second.
Sure.
Targaryen, you probably want a double claim plot, or Valor became in every single target deck. If you remember, it wasn't in every target deck before that.
That's fair.
Which is hard to remember.
It's an easy way to get the kills.
Right. Tyrell, right, you need Summer. Barry, you don't, I guess. And Greyjoy, you don't. So I guess my thought with that is, like, totally off, because only a few of the economy locations are that way.
If you're not affecting the discard pile, that card takes a long time to activate.
Greyjoy.
Right, but that's building your deck, not necessarily your plot deck.
Oh, yeah, so you said plot deck.
You could say build your deck, but that's any card.
Sure.
That's how goes, so. Yeah.
All right. Plot deck,
so I would just say you have to hit. So what do you think? A winner.
Anybody winter or just you winter?
I think I'd go any winner. But it is. I mean, I totally get your point. That, like, it could be a very slippery.
As soon as a Stark deck is good, though, like Stark is good, then
people will start taking.
Yeah. Then it's oh.
They'll stop playing winners, so they don't
can't run winter against them. You know.
Like, that's fair. I'd give it a flip of a coin, honestly.
All right, let's go to the next one.
So, I see both points. Both are great.
Cersei's attendant. So right now, Cersei's attendant, 2/3, loyal companion intrigue icon. While Cersei's attendant is participating in a challenge against an opponent with no cards in his or her hand, Cersei's attendant gains insight. I think we discussed that the no cards in his or her hand is so hard to achieve that. This just becomes so hard to hit. 2/3 is great. That's awesome, but it's a single icon. So we had thought, make her a 2/2, although I think she could still be 3, but 2/2, fair enough. 2/2, she has insight, no matter what.
Oh, she's, did we say she's unique now?
Now she's unique.
2/2, unique.
Insight.
And she has insight while she's attacking with a lady, or whatever, while she's participating in a challenge with another lady, she can draw another card.
Okay, so insight, double insight.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
You still have to win
with another lady in the challenge.
To draw a second card.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely jump her down to a 2, but it seems fine.
You would jump her down to a 2 as well?
Yeah.
You think 2/3?
A 3 as well, it just seems...
My idea was Doria from Targaryen.
Yeah.
2/2, yep. Similar effect, except she only has the 1 insight. This is getting you double insight, but...
But Doria has power, though, right?
She has a double icon, yes. So.
Yeah, this way you get the double insight, but you lose an icon.
And so, I feel like...
Good card. That's in every deck. That's in every Lanny deck.
I agree. I also feel like Lanny should have insight on so many characters.
The problem is, right, Lanny was the top dog faction for a cycle and a half. 2 cycles almost.
Is that why? And then because they designed so far out that they're like, oh, we need to make sure they're not getting too crazy.
Yes, they had the most goal. If they then had the most draw, how do you beat that faction that has the most resources? That's why Tyrell is so hard right now, because now they have the most gold and the most draw.
Right. Let's go to the next one. So you like that one?
Yeah.
It doesn't break it. You think it's cool?
No. And that was good. What size? But right, you have to have another lady.
Yeah.
There are 2 ladies in Lannister,
and
Jenna and Cersei,
and one's playable.
Jen is theoretically playable, but yeah, I understand your point. One's good.
Yeah, one's like in your deck. Jen is there,
right?
Because
so it's almost like a banner card. With you have to run.
You pretty much have to have someone.
But
with
banner
ladies.
Rose or banner wolf for more ladies. If you want to get that, if you want to guarantee that double insight.
Sure. No, yeah. I think it's fine. I think it makes it a lot better.
Okay. I love that both these cards are about draw. Because Lanny needs it so bad. Insidious Scheme, 1 loyal event reaction. After claim is applied for an inching challenge, in which you win by 5 or more, draw 2 cards, 4 cards instead if the loser's opponent has no cards in his or her hand. Again, fuck, dude. Like, and that's so hard to hit. So I'd say for this one, 1 cost event, After claim is applied for an intrigue challenge, you win by 5 or more. Draw 3 cards. That's it.
When you intrigue by 5 or more, you just draw 3. There's no
draw 2 or draw 4. You just draw 3. Now you have a 2-card card advantage. Roughly.
Man, I'd almost rather take off the if your hand is empty and make the cost 0. And just make it always 2 if you win by 5 or more. I don't like the 3. The 3 is a huge swing, man. That's a counting coppers into 1 cost
card.
Yeah,
but
you still have to win by 5 or more, but Lynn doesn't have a problem winning an intrigue.
They have to have an empty hand.
No, he said no. He said that was gone.
No more empty hand.
Wait, say it again?
Now, the change would be 1 cost after claim is applied for an intrigue challenge and you wish by 5 or more, draw 3.
Oh, no, I don't think way I agree too to much. This. I agree. I disagree. Way if too I agreed much. To that, I was crazy.
Because right now it's 2. Now it's 2. If you have no hand, you draw 4. And I said go in the middle, just 3.
I remember that. No, that's insane. A 1 cost for 3 cards?
Would you win an intrigue by 5 or more?
Yeah, but I don't think Lanny has a problem winning an intrigue by 5 or more.
Yeah, especially when they can do double intrigues with Kessley Rod.
Doesn't mean you gotta have also, 2 of these.
3 cards is a lot, dude.
It's a ton.
Think about how good Secret Schemes is.
So what about 0 then for 2?
0? No, I think you keep the 1. I actually kind of like this card how it is.
Yeah.
1 for 2 and 4 if they have no hands. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. But it doesn't see play.
I've totally come back on this.
But it doesn't see play. That was the whole
it doesn't
point.
See play. That's true, it doesn't see play. So you said just 1 for 3.
0 for 2 and then that's it.
No, I don't think you can do 0 for 2.
Really? Why?
A 0 cost event that draws you 2 cards.
After you win an intrigue by 5 or more.
That's not that much of a challenge, though. Wow.
Is it because 2 cards are theoretically more valuable than
1 for
power.
3 is more reasonable.
Alright, how about this? Keep it the same. 1 for 2. 4 if you have more cards in hand.
Nah, 1 for 3 if you have more cards in hand.
Oh, you just get 1 extra card?
No, just no matter what. 1 for 3 if you have
more 1 cards. For 3
if you have more cards
but in you hand. Have to have more cards in hand.
Oh, so just kill the flat
after
two.
It after you have won an intrigue challenge by 5 or more. If you have more cards in hand than your opponent, draw 3 cards.
I like that. And it's reaction, so it's before claim.
Limit once per challenge.
Sure, whatever. Once per phase, you mean?
No, once per challenge. I don't want you to be able to double up on it with, like, his Viper Eyes.
Okay. Sure, fine.
Yeah, but you're okay with, like, the second intrigue claim?
Yeah.
You still win by 5.
I'm fine with that.
With Big Cersei? Because right, you'll win by 5 again?
Why not?
All right, so
I guess we can handle that many cards anyway.
I like that. I'm cool with that.
That's fine. It makes it better. It's still...
Why aren't we designers? All right, let's go.
It's a weird card.
I'm getting tired.
We're getting there.
Zorro!
Now we're... So, real quick, I gotta say, Targ was the hardest for Manalfi to go through.
We just started nerfing cards.
We just started nerfing
instead of making bad cards better, we started taking, like, all their good cards and started saying, let's change this
on
it.
Yeah, what if Plaza of Punishment costs 5 to Marshall?
What if Ask the Poor costs, like, 3 and then
and you can
bestow
2? So... and I think... I would go ahead and say all those Z-Men might like these. Like the ones we came up with, I think are just we were just reaching. Zara Jean Daxos.
Zaro Zone Daxos.
Cool. Who, if I am correct, was the big black guy in Karth. In the show.
Yes. In the show, he's the big black guy in Karth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the big chubby guy. Yeah.
He's small in this.
He's small and white and bald in this.
Also white.
He's kind of shadowy. Yeah, I guess he's white.
He's gay in one of them, and he's not in the other.
Huh?
Might be gay in both. Either way. Oh no, he was kind of like flirting with Danny. Not really.
Yeah, but I think he said like that's not my thing. But then you found the handmaiden in his bed. You found Daria in his bed.
That was Daria.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, I lost my HBO. Because
Daria and Zaro are the ones that get locked in the tomb, the vault.
I didn't realize that was Daria.
Yeah.
I really gotta go back and watch a lot of that shit.
Yeah. She was hot.
I lost my HBO, man, so I'm not there.
No.
Who? We don't have a card for that one prostitute, do we? The one, like, who, like, Theon liked and
Ross? It's because she's not a real character.
Oh, she's not a real character?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, fair enough. Okay, Stars on Geos. 5 for 4, non-loyal merchant. Intrigue, power. 5 for 4, Bicon. Not horrible. But in the realm of Tar, you should be like, what, like a 5 for 7? Anyways, reaction. After you marshal a unique attachment, gain 2 gold. Limit once per phase. I would just... He doesn't see play. And Targ, they're really trying to push this attachment thing. I would say just after you marshal an attachment, gain 2 gold. I don't know if I would limit this, though.
Well, so I was thinking about this, too. The problem is if you don't limit it, you're getting in the range of, like, Uber Voltron, right? That's, like, the OTK stuff or whatever, mm-hmm. where somebody figures out some way to make Daenerys, like... Sure. Super powerful with all these attachments.
Sure, and people have already tried that. There already is like some kind of Danny one turn kill deck.
No, that's not one turn kill, but it's definitely like Voltron Danny.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What's the difference? Oh, we talked about this because I remember
some kind of Voltron Danny.
I built one that was Banner Rose, and then you were telling me that you saw one somebody built
or something. I played one online.
You played one online. That's what it was. I think you limited to twice per phase.
Okay, I like that.
Oh, wait, no. The idea was, no, that is the change we were going to make, is you take off the limit, right?
No, we said not unique attachment.
No, I say unique attachment, take off the limit.
Okay.
Because I don't like the idea that you can, like, milk someone and then gain 2 gold. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Take off the limit and keep it unique.
Okay.
So push Voltron Danny, because sure. I don't think it's an OTK.
Sure.
And see what we can do there.
Cool. Same cost, same bicon, same everything.
Same everything.
Just the effect changes.
Maybe 5 for 3, since you have such a powerful effect and they don't need more efficient cards.
So we'll keep it 5 for 4.
5 for 3.
I'm fine with that.
Take like, off the limit.
I mean, even the 5 for 3 isn't terrible.
Right, that's not a bad thing, because you don't have to worry about other people dracking your stuff, because you have drac. 5 for 3.
I mean, if you make it 5 for 3, I think he's going to stop seeing play again.
No one's dracking him.
But no, nobody's playing him anyways. Nobody's playing sure. him without the limit.
Sure, but I think if you make the changes without going from the 4 to 3, you might see play. Like, it arguably might be worth it then.
No.
Without that, I don't think
it would. It would not outside of, like, a janky, like, attachment deck. Which isn't...
Oh, because it's still unique attachments. Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Some kind of Voltron Danny.
Next one.
All right.
I told you, these were the hardest to come up with.
It's because you guys hate Targ.
No, because they're just really good.
Yeah.
Like, and what can we do besides, like, if all their cards are hyper-efficient, like,
totally
yeah, how
card.
Do we not just give them another great card
and make Jacaris,
give them an option?
As long as you have a dragon on the board.
2 cost.
Make Jacaris 1 cost. You just have to have a dragon on the board.
-5.
You don't have to kneel dragon.
Yeah, just show up and read the next card.
Pyat Pri, 6 for 4, Bicon. Reaction, after you win a challenge in which Pyat Pri is participating, search the top X cards of your deck for a Targ attachment or event. Reveal it and add it to your hand. Shuffle your deck. X is the strength by which you won the challenge.
Oh, do you not remember what we changed?
No, because I
we took this card. Out we took out Targaryen.
That's what I thought. This is the one where we said any attachment.
Search top X cards for your deck for an attachment or event.
I like this card either way. I think with that, I would absolutely play this card. He's a little expensive. Once you get into 6 costs, like... Once you get into 6 costs, you're into this weird realm where you're like, you kind of only have so many slots for that anyways. Right?
It takes up a call slot.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like... But it's like, it's not like you can add... It's not like
Paul should be on a restricted list.
Oh, it's not like you can... It's not
right,
like you,
run your draft, but run him.
No, I'm with you.
But it's not like you take out... like once you get into something like a 6 cost, you don't take out a 2-coster to add this in. That starts being weird.
You take out a 5 or a 7.
Right.
Right.
A 2 or a 3-coster to add this in, that starts messing with your curve a lot.
Right.
And you
That's the argument I had to make to Z-Man when he was trying to figure out what plots to change for war. He was like, oh, let me take out calling the banners and add in Valor. And I was like, those aren't things you switch around. right? You maybe take a, if you want Valor, right, you take out for Snow, or you take out
that this is a very thing. That is a very similar argument, yes.
Right.
And it is one that I took a long time to learn.
Okay. Makes sense.
Because I would always be like, oh, I don't really want this guy anymore. But at some point, like, I'm going to use this. It's a horrible example. At some point, you need those bastard daughters.
Sure.
It's an example because that's actually a good card.
Yeah, and you win three of them.
No matter what.
Almost.
But you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you need those two costers.
Great card.
Even if you don't think you need that two coster, like, it fills a spot. This game exists on flop. Right. Still. That's some example.
Right.
Which is why I think HRD is really interesting. But we can get into that later.
Yeah. All right. I think that makes it fun.
Yeah?
Next.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
So let you banner, let you neutral.
And he's unloyal.
It's good.
Tyrell, there's my claim. Zero cost event. Play only during a challenge. Challenge action. Reveal four Tyrell characters from your hand to raise the claim value on your revealed plot card by one until the end of the challenge. I believe we had said discard one Tyrell character now. Not reveal. So this doesn't seem to play because it's a hard thing to do.
It's insane.
Now it's zero cost. Discard a Tyrell character to raise claim.
Limit once per phase.
Yes.
With Tyrell, I'd say okay. I think I'm okay with that.
Right, they don't really have other discard stuff.
No, and like...
They don't abusefully bottom
it. Yeah, they're not right? Using flea bottom. No,
they're not trying to go low yeah. These... They I really don't think they have a ton of like lower cost characters where you discard them like you're not losing something valuable. I think a lot of theirs are very useful. Whether they're low cost or not, they're very useful cards.
I play three of those in my Knight's deck.
Oh yeah. If
that was the case, oh yeah.
Hell yeah you would. Yeah. But
does it make it too powerful? It's getting there, right?
And it's a character still. You just have to discard a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean
Tyrell character.
Yeah, I think it would get close to the.
Oh, I got it. Too I got strong. It. Make this loyal.
Yeah.
It's not loyal right now.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
Okay. Fuck you.
Maybe. I mean, because even if you don't have a loyal, like you still have to have
the other
cards. Yeah, you have a false banner of Rose to like get that, and like
you're not gonna be able to hit it. Yeah, it'd be hard. Oh, I guess you're false bannering. Yeah,
but you're not.
Yeah, no, I think it's
false bannering to them.
I think it's good. It could be on the verge of too strong, but I don't know. Seems fine.
Yeah,
all right.
It's much better. That's an impossible card. Not impossible, but
it's a rough card.
The fuck do you hit that card?
Yeah, the next one.
Four characters. You gotta reveal them so you show them what you have. Yeah, and you have to have all four to have four characters in your hand. Maybe I don't know Tyro. Seems crazy. Seems like a
lot. I like this one. This was Alfie's. One cost offer of a peach event play only if you control Renly or a lady. Challenges icon. Choose an attacking character. Stand that character and remove it from the challenge. So, Tyrell has this awesome subplot that nobody uses about removing characters from challenges because there's cards like Mace Tyrell and Bitterbridge out and HRD. Offer of a Peach, we would change it to choose an attacking character, remove from the challenge. So it stays now.
Oh, okay.
For one cost.
You still have to have Renly or Lady.
Yeah, this would be fine.
I like that.
Yeah.
I also think it's kind of thematic. If you're thinking of Offer of a Peach, that idea that now you've eaten and you're rested, so you know you're still kind of down.
That's not where it comes from.
What's Offer of a Peach?
Offer of a Peach is when Renly and Stannis come together to meet before like they were gonna like fight or whatever. Renly is eating a peach because he's gay, I guess. I don't know. It's like a theme with him. Like
he's got his peach thing.
It's like his big thing with like he's got his peach or whatever, and then the Offer of Peach is it's almost like a, not like an olive branch, but it's like a...
It's like a butt.
Yeah.
Stannis is gay too.
Like a butt. Not quite, but he's just like eating the peach, and then I think he like offers it to Stannis.
Is it him? You want a bite?
Yeah, they're like kind of mocking him.
Is there more with Renly in the books than in the show?
No, about the same.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I really liked Renly, man.
Everybody liked Renly, but...
Is he supposed to be liked? Or is he not as liked in the books?
It's the same thing in the books. Like, everybody...
Very likable.
Most of the Bannermen to Baratheon go with Renly. Because he's likable.
Is it widely known that he's a homosexual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Homosexual.
Littlefinger, like, loves... Like, in the first season... At the tourney of the hand, the hand's tourney, Littlefinger makes the joke to Renly about Loras, because Loras is in the thing.
Like, what is it, Loras beat the mountain or something? Or
he does. Yeah. And Littlefinger makes a joke. I'm pretty sure the same joke is made in the books.
Okay.
Like, the idea that, it's like everybody kind of knows that Renly likes boys.
Sure.
Okay. And then... Because Marge even says it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you do whatever the fuck you want, as long as I'm your queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Renly was dope. By the way, Renly played Charles Manson in another TV show.
Genthan Anthony or whatever his name is. Genthan Anthony.
Is this his name?
Yeah.
In Aquarius with David Duchovny. Alright, next one.
Next one. Good card. Boom.
Ricasso! I love this one. I want Ricasso to be...
Ricasso is one of our favorite cards.
I want Ricasso to be so good. And I don't know. Maybe because he was the first one to, like, have bestow when they, like, spoiled it. Ricasso, it's actually not bad stats. 3-for-3 Bicon, Intrigue Power, Loyal. Totally not. That's efficient. Bestow 2,
where we lose it.
You're considered to have X additional plot cards in your used pile. X is the number of gold Ricasso has. This is where I don't remember. Did we say now bestow 4 or bestow X?
Bestow 3.
It was 3.
Okay. Bestow 3 because...
Hold on, wait. Let me tell you. So this is where Z-Man had a pretty good argument against me. I thought it was bestow 4.
Okay.
And you had said...
Useless. You can't do 4. Like, all their or so many of their cards bank off 3 use pile or more. So 3 makes sense to me.
There you go.
I was like, that's more impressive than I thought you knew the cards.
I played against that card. That's the only actual reason I remember that card.
Although 4 is not bad.
4 is not bad for, like, Doran's game. Like, for ones that...
Secret schemes.
Like, for the ones that do benefit off having more. There's a decent amount of cards just, hey, if you have this 3, get a small bonus. Not X.
Yeah, but
just
I feel like there's more that... actually give a bonus based on the number. Yeah.
Gotcha. And maybe that's where... What
is it? Those guys that, like, they get triggered off of 3, right?
It's the sun.
Yeah, because I can think of... The ones I can think of, there's a couple that are triggered off X, but I can think of more that are just triggered off 3.
How many? Name them right now. Knights of the Sun?
Knights of the Sun. I don't know. But I know there's more. I know the ones I've seen more.
Okay,
I don't know
so
names.
Doran is X.
Sure.
Right?
Name in game.
In Doran's name.
Sure, that's
X.
Fine.
Doran's game, X.
Sure.
That's 3-1 right now.
Doran's game is the strength run, right?
Doran's game is the intrigue.
The easily repeatable one.
No. Doran's game is the... No. That's... Oh, there you go. That's another one. That's...
Long plan.
Prince's plan. Prince's plan, the repeatable event.
Doran's game is the
you
X.
You had that deck.
X
that was
power.
Pretty fun.
X power, right?
Yeah, Doran's game is after you win an intrigue by 5 or more, gain X power.
What's
X
the Doran's name then?
In Doran's name is Neil Eufax's card, gain that much gold.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think 3?
3 because works with favors of the crown or whatever, favors for the crown.
Alright.
Which is a plot. That after you bestow a character, it gains gold. If you bestow 3, it gains 2 gold.
So
from the treasury.
Do you think 4 is too strong?
That's cool.
I think he's right with, like, 4 is... We're just probably never really going to see play.
He's just overkill.
Yeah.
I agree. I think 3 would be great. I think... I don't know.
Because I think at that point you could make a non-OTK Core Viper deck. That's still, like, really powerful, and he's gaining lots of power, but it isn't one turn kill, and it could be consistent, right?
Right. I want Rakosta to see more play, and I don't know.
It's awesome art.
If, I was going to say he's got if, really if cool the Martell box is going to push him forward at all.
I would think it would because that theme was in the core set.
Yeah.
And that's what the boxes do, right? They push core set themes and they maybe
introduce. Have we not seen everything yet?
What do you mean?
Have we seen everything yet? Or is there still stuff?
I have no idea.
I'd have to count the cards. We've seen a lot.
We have seen a lot. I would be disappointed if they just pushed icon removal and didn't push
plot.
I completely agree. Because what, we get 30 Martell cards?
Yeah, yeah.
30. Right?
Yeah, yeah, because they're each a full draft or a full pack of theirs.
So we have 30 Martell cards and then 2 for every other faction. So that's
20 Martell cards.
14. 20 Martell cards?
Well, if you're saying it's 2 packs.
You get 3 packs. You get and there's 3. So you get 90 cards.
You get 90 cards total.
Yeah.
So each. Okay.
So each pack is 30. So each, we get. Shit.
This is weird math. So you're getting 2 of the different factions, 7 factions, that's 14 cards.
Yeah, times 3 is 30, 42.
There you go, 42, so now you're at
48.
48, plus neutrals, pray at 30. Or up to 35.
Yeah, so 30 Martell cards.
How much do you normally get a
neutral? That all depends, I believe.
Okay.
You get 90 cards.
Yeah. So you get 14. So you get.
I think it's 20.
20 Martell cards.
That'd be 60 of them, though.
Hold on.
Let's go to the next one.
Alright.
Oh, he's looking that up.
I'll just tell you. I'll just count.
Greenblood. Okay, so Greenblood. That's non-loyal.
Yep.
3 cost location. Unique. Each Martell character you control gets +1 strength for each summer plot card revealed. I believe we said each Martell character gets +2 strength.
24. 24 cards.
What was the one we changed here? I know we talked about a couple of different ones.
Oh, you're saying Martell gets 24. There must be more than a... Because isn't that...
They get 25. There's 52 cards in a pack. So you were wrong with the 90.
Oh, okay.
We were saying 2 for every summer plot card.
2 strength for every summer plot card revealed.
Yeah. Or if you have a summer plot card revealed, each of your Martell
cards gain
+2 strength.
Yeah, I think you seems fine.
Yeah.
And you get +2 strength.
Yeah, +2 instead of 1 for every revealed one.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Because then you get to build your deck around summer, and you don't benefit off the opportunity that your opponent is going to play a summer, and you get fucking +4.
It's still an expensive thing.
And you're not dependent on your opponent to get +2.
Right.
I think it's pretty interesting, because I'm not actually sure which Martell deck wants the strength buff.
Yeah, I'd say probably a deck that's running the big Ariane.
Yeah.
Because now she's a 7 strength,
yeah.
And that's bumping most people
back. I think that deck's running core Doran for now as well.
Yeah.
What's the last one we got up there?
That's the last one.
That's the throne CB thing there. All right. Sweet. There you go. Right? Not too bad.
Yeah.
No?
We would have liked to be gone a half hour ago.
All right. So, thank you all for listening. This has been great. We'll attempt to get back to board games as much as possible, but something like this, where we talk about Thrones for about an hour and a half, I think will probably be our consistency, given that this is the core 3 that we have on a weekly basis. Alfie, when's regionals going to happen?
No one knows.
Really?
Yeah, no one knows.
All
they
right.
They haven't sent out... people have sent applications, and they've gotten... But... No one knows when that is. No one knows when nationals is. No one knows anything.
Wow.
Okay. Don't you have a buy for regionals?
I do have a buy for regionals. Is that okay? Okay. So I was wondering, is that good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
you get a dodge the random matchup first round.
Yeah.
You're more likely to play meta decks, right?
That's fair.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately. Isn't there someone at regionals that's going to go undefeated?
Yes.
What do you mean? Regionals is still Swiss, right?
Yeah.
My bye is not better than a win, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's 5 points.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you get 5 points for a win. You get a bye. You get an automatic win for your first round.
Oh, I thought a bye was not considered a win.
No, I think it's full. I think it's strength of schedule. It's less.
Strength of schedule doesn't help you, but yeah. That doesn't matter.
But it's still a full
win. Oh, I didn't know it was a full win.
Yeah.
That's where I thought it was less.
That's why
that's important that I have that card.
That's why the first one we ever went to, I got fifth instead of fourth. It's because the kid had a bye, and somehow, and that's what pissed me off, was that somehow was counted more than the win I got against somebody who went defeated.
Right.
I beat the guy, right, who lost all his games. The other kid had a bye. Then we had the same record, and he somehow beat me.
Yeah, strength of schedule, yours should be higher. Not playing the game should be the lowest of the strength of schedules, yeah. I would think.
I agree.
Interesting.
So, last thing, before you head out, since you put on your shoes, do you think Bus is the best deck builder?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I would never play deck you build. That's why. I would never play deck you build either, though. So, and I think you're a fine deck builder, so I don't know if that's necessarily a good indicator.
I'm going to tell you something about Bus, and you tell me if you agree.
Okay.
I feel like Bus builds decks in a similar fashion as I do, because he thinks about things the way that you guys don't.
Agree.
Because you don't think about anything.
Yep.
And you want to play decks that are going to win tournaments.
Yeah.
I think Bus thinks like me, and he's like, oh, I want to try playing something.
Agree.
Now,
I think I do that just as much as you, but continue.
I think when Bus builds his deck, he thinks more about making that deck viable from iteration one than I do.
I think that is true.
Agree.
I agree.
In that, in iteration one, I want to be as true to theme as possible, and then I iterate above and go on. And I've talked about, like there's times where, like, I just want to include resets because I want to see what I can do with just this, you know, or something. Something that would make sense, like, oh, you should use this, like, I get that, but I'm trying this first to see how this works.
Right.
I think Bus doesn't even go there. He'll have an idea similar to me, but then he'll iterate it just a notch above where he's still thinking about meta and viability.
I think you're describing the way I build decks as well. If you're saying that's how what Bus does, I do the exact same thing talking about.
Here's where I think I'll describe you. You, iteration zero, you just make a theme deck. You change it later. Fine. Bus, iteration one, and he tries to make a semi-viable deck. You, iteration like three. You won't bring a deck until you're like the third part of take out all these cards because they're not tournament viable. You hammer it down a lot more by the time you play the deck than either. And I don't make decks. It's
usually true. Occasionally I bring just like total trash and see what I can do with it, you know? But
very rarely, though.
It is more rare.
Very rarely.
But I think that's the thing, is I probably build just as many decks as anybody else.
Sure. Sure.
I don't bring them because I can tell right away this isn't a good deck.
Sure. And you either dump it,
you're willing or you to try that deck out, and me, I'm like, this is a waste of time. I can look at this deck and see this isn't very good.
Right.
Sure. That's the difference, where you'll dump it or try to iterate it further. Well, you know, those two will just play it.
Back to my point, though, do you agree with that about Bus in terms of deck building?
I don't know. I honestly, he was the one person who I didn't have much communication with in his building for War. And so,
well, he's also not here, but yeah.
I just played.
But even then, yeah, I would like talk to him online or whatever when we play on Iron Throne. And I mean, he would like tell me what's in his deck or whatever, but I think he takes the least amount of help.
Oh, he's really? Always been like that.
Well, at least me, and that might have been just with my perspective. No. He's so I was like that. I wouldn't do this, or I'd do this, you know, I'd make this one change or try this.
I've actually never thought of that. That makes sense, because I can't imagine. I'm trying to remember a time where I've given Bus advice and he's taken it.
No, it almost never happens.
It's good to know, though.
Yeah.
We still love you, Bus.
We do.
You're a fucking
tank. That's not a bad thing.
It's not bad.
Yeah, you know, because you're a house.
But,
He knows what deck he wants to make.
I don't know what his deck building system is like, because...
Well, I mean, I'm running off of what we had here, more than what I saw at Thrones, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember when he was here, he was the one person who was building, like, randomness every week. Or he was bringing new stuff every week, whereas you were trying to, like, solidify these different things.
Well, that's the same thing I do now, right? I played that Tyrell HRD now for... What, 2 weeks? Is it only 2 weeks?
Right. So what I had the Greyjoy deck last week. I'm missing what happened. I was one play.
Played Greyjoy. You played your Martell Stag. You played your Stark deck.
Yeah.
At the time I played like 2 decks. You played like 4 decks.
Right. Because I'm always trying to like figure out different things.
Right.
I want to try and like iterate different things at different times.
Yeah.
Because I always want to be, I don't know, changing. And I want to try everything.
Whereas I'm just trying to get better. And so with my deck, if I play my deck twice and just never go back to it, what did I really learn from that deck?
I think I go back to my point is I don't think I'm not trying to get better.
I don't think I was trying to infer that you don't. I'm just saying you want to, like you just said, you want to build everything and play everything.
Yeah.
I want to get better. That's what I would say I want to do. And so by doing that, I try to play the same deck over and over again.
No, I'm saying, like, I think I'm going to get better by playing as much as I can.
Sure, and I understand that, but I guess I don't think that actually holds up as far as I give you a deck. If I give you a deck right now that is a good deck, right, won tournaments and stuff, that doesn't mean you're going to do well with it. Whereas if you take that deck and you play 10 games with it, you're going to be much better with it than if you played 5 other decks twice each.
Sure, because you know how the deck plays.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And I think that makes you better.
And we did... In some respect, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes you better at the game overall. It makes you get better at playing that deck.
Yeah, I would argue you could probably be a faction loyalist and probably be very, very good at the game, even if your faction isn't necessarily.
Oh, yeah, but I would never do that.
I understand that. I'm not saying you should. What I'm saying is I think that you could still be so great at the game by knowing one faction inside and out, and so that's where I think your point about how knowing this deck and being able to play really well doesn't make you better overall in the game, I would disagree. Sure, you might not know how to play Stark or Martell, but like you could still take down tournaments with your Tyrell deck.
Sure, and you know how to play against Stark and Tyrell.
Sure.
I think that's ultimately where I come down on is like as much as that's like a good gauge, like I think there's more to the game than tournaments.
Yeah, I disagree. I know what you're saying, and I love playing the game, and if you told me you're never going to go to a tournament again, I'd still play it, but I won't play it nearly as much as I do, and I won't think about it nearly as much as I do.
Right.
That's what drives me. Whereas right. I think this is the difference between you and I, just philosophy-wise with games in general. If you look around, you have 200 board games in this room.
I don't think it's 200.
Like, you probably have
200. It's well over 200. We counted them before.
It was like 140, and you probably have gotten at least 50 games in the past.
Yeah.
We haven't played 50 of them.
We haven't. You're right.
You're right. We haven't played them.
We have not.
But you want to experience all of it, right? You just want that, like you said, you want to play every faction. You want to be, like, constantly trying all this new stuff.
Yes.
I do as well. Like, I told you, I'm like, man, I want to build a Stark deck. I start building it, and I'm like, this is not going to win a game. If I don't think my deck can win 50% of its games, I'm not going to play it. Granted, some of the decks that I think can do that aren't actually good. But at least I feel like I'm onto something. You'll build a deck, and maybe you think it would win 50%, but you just, like, build a deck with something, and then you, like, go play it. Yes. And then I don't know how much you actually refine from that type of stuff.
It depends. I mean... Let's see. I think the worst deck I ever built was that Night's Watch Tyrell deck.
Like, did you refine your Martell Stag deck that you played last night against me? You played once, you lost 15-1 or whatever.
No, because I want to play that more than that. I would want to play that like two more times and figure out what to take out. Because okay. It probably played how I thought it was going to play.
Yeah.
You were just quicker.
I don't think it was a matter of quickness, though. I didn't win the game on turn three or anything.
No, but like when I was able to start controlling what I wanted to control, like you were just too far up.
Sure.
So I don't know. I want to play that again to see if maybe I needed something different in the beginning than I had.
I understand. And I don't know if I...
Whereas, like, playing that Greyjoy deck, like, oh, like, that was clear that game, this plot tech is off.
Sure.
You know? So I can iterate off of one play. That Martell deck is a little, I think, more intricate, and I want to play that more. I mean, I switched it back to Martell from Bera.
Right, you had a Bera of play, son.
And I switched it to Martell Stag.
Right.
Because I wanted to try not Cormel, the new Mel.
Right.
And it didn't work. And it was clear that, like, and it was even clear that, like, oh, even if I triggered her every turn, probably wouldn't have meant anything.
Right.
You know.
I agree.
That's what I love about playing the game, you know? And, like, oh, here, I'm going to try this. This is clear. Now let's change it.
Right.
You know? So that, like, I it's still built.
Yeah.
The Stark I just had in my head, and we were talking about Stark last night.
Were we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, like, so I had that in my head of, like, building a Stark Rush, and I was like, oh, I should try that again.
Yeah.
So I, like, threw that together, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I was thinking about, like, what we talked about of, like, Stark should be honorable, Stark should not want tricks, so let's figure out how to build that.
Right. That's interesting, because I don't know if I've ever built a deck based on a thematic point of view, and not theme within the game, right, of, like, Knights or Burn or Builders, but, like, theme from, like,
Stark is honorable,
so I'm going to do this with it, you right. know? Sure, they have stuff that tends to work with that. Korkat, Winterfell, right. Bran. But, yeah, I've never been like, oh, I've never thought about it from the perspective of, you know, the, I don't know.
I mean, those are just jumping off points.
Yeah.
You know? I think I agree with you that I think the worst thing you can do, or the most uninteresting thing you can do, is just build a good stuff deck.
I don't think those decks are actually good.
Like
that deck can win games, but I think that's good stuff why deck isn't a good deck.
I think that's why Lani is in the spot it's in. You said over and over again how many times you can't just rely, because those cards are still good.
But they're not as good.
You just can't rely on Lani. Lani can't rely on just having
the best cards.
These great cards.
Yeah.
They need to figure out how to win games now.
Right.
And I love that. Like
that's why I feel like Sam Bratz, like, he needs to start playing Lannister, because I bet he could go and crush Worlds right now with the Lannister deck.
Oh, are you kidding? He would run three Cersei's Warehouse.
It's one of those things where it's like there's stuff there.
Yeah.
Nobody's figured it out yet.
No. And, like,
everybody's trying to do the same old stuff with, like, Lanny Wolf, with, like, you know, a little bit of Jumper, a little bit of Bolton stuff.
And, like, I'll totally cop to the fact that whenever I try to build a deck, even a Clansman deck, it's so hard to not be like, well, I still want three Tywin, three Core Cersei, two Jaime.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, to not just have, like, that, oh, the treacheries, and, like, all these pieces. Right. Now what?
I think that's because I think the idea is every card in your deck has to have a purpose.
Sure.
And so that's where
good stuff decks... I mean, that's the best decks, deck, right?
Yeah, that's where good stuff decks aren't gonna hold up, is because they're just slamming good cards together. There's no reason for them other than this is a good character.
So I think I want to see Z-Man not play Targ.
Yeah.
Next week.
She doesn't want to play anything else.
Okay, pick another deck, I'll play it.
What would you even be interested in playing besides Targ? Obviously not Bera, apparently.
Martell. Okay. If you want to do Martell, I'll play Lanny.
Okay.
Do you have
play
a
Martell?
What are you? What agenda are you thinking for Martell?
Fuck, I know.
Okay.
Just gonna go net deck.
Go net deck. Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
This is what I do when you guys ask me to play deck.
Yeah. You guys don't enjoy I'm fine with someone net deck.
Which I get. I understand why you don't enjoy me playing Targ. But if we go into the talk of you make a ton of decks, you like playing. You make a ton of decks, you like playing. I play one deck because I want to specialize.
Let's give
them
the Martell Rose deck that won war. Because that's actually a deck that I think probably takes skill to pilot.
All right.
Let's see what he does with it.
I like it.
Cool.
Down?
I'll send it over to you.
Cool. Send it to me.
Let's do that. What if we all give each other a deck to play?
Okay. What are you guys giving me?
I don't know. What would you give Alfie?
Targ. I've never seen you play Targ, so.
No.
I can't remember you playing Targ.
I'm going to build a deck and I'm going to give it to you.
Please don't.
No, that's the point of this challenge.
I get to play a war tournament deck. You get to build some deck he builds you.
It'll be a deck that I think can generally win something.
Can't wait to play you.
Are we going
to
tweak it?
No. You can tell me. We can discuss what tweaks you would make yourself.
Okay. All right. Fine.
You can give me, either...
No, you like Barra.
You can either say, and you can give me two restrictions. Either, like, factions, or cards, or agendas.
Whatever you want.
Alright. I'll build you a deck.
Give it to me by, like, I don't know, the end of the week, so at least I can look at it.
No. I'm gonna be a douche and give it to you Wednesday morning. Alright. And then you build a deck for me.
Someone came out on top here. Zach came out on top.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I came out on top here.
Sure, you give me something, I don't know, whatever you think you want. Or you give me something, actually.
No.
Actually, yeah, because you're giving Z-Man the challenge.
But I'm giving him a good deck. It's not fair for him to give you a shitty deck.
We're gonna see then. No. I want you to build me a deck. You build it. And I'm going to see how good I can actually
pilot. Okay, you build me a deck, then I'll build him a real deck instead of giving him a net deck.
Sure, okay. But build him... I like the idea of giving him that something along those lines that takes some skill to pilot.
Fortunately, I'm just not good enough to build a deck that takes some skill to pilot, you know?
Then give him that Martell Rose and switch one plot.
I know, it's not... Yeah.
Switch one plot. All
right. Either way, I love this idea. We'll talk about this next week. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I totally appreciate all of you who've subscribed. Just come visit us at www.dropthedice.com. We're back up to 200 subscribers, so way to go, guys.
Awesome. Woohoo!
Yeah, awesome job. I promise eventually we'll figure out how to include Rico back in and talk about board games eventually. But until then, thanks a lot. You've been listening to Drop the Dice.
Bye.